Definitely the weather has changed.
Yeah.
It has changed, and it definitely feels like it is no longer summer.
Yeah.
It has switched over. Yeah, it's switched over to fall. All right, praise God. We are going to get into the Word for this next portion of our service. If you're joining us at home, we encourage you to get your Bible out. Because a lot of times, if you're watching online with your device, then it's difficult to switch over to actually opening the Word of God. I think it's an important thing for us to get used to using the Word of God. Because who knows, maybe one day you might not have access to the internet. I know that's a shock for me to say that, but you never know. You might be in a situation. Not everywhere in the world has internet, and so we need to understand that. So it's actually a good thing to use your Bible. Last week I started a new series called Got Church, and keeping it real, there's something for everyone at a local church. You got church. And I went through several amazing statistics, and I'm not going to get too detailed with any of them, but remember we talked about how being a part of a local church actually lowers the risk of depression and anxiety. We talked about that in the early part of the worship, right? It also helps you with better time management and better grades. It also significantly reduces your risk of death and helps you live longer. So being a part of a local church is very, very important. And so Hebrews 10:25 is going to be the key verse here. Hebrews 10:25. Let's go before the Father in prayer over the word that he would speak to us this morning. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it has the power to change us, the power to rearrange our thinking, to help us, to conform us by your Holy Spirit. Teach as I teach, Father, and teach through me. Speak to me and speak through me as a vessel you can use. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as some are in the manner of doing, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I think it's interesting because if we go up to the verses ahead of that, look at what it says in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then he goes on in the verse that we started with, verse 24, about how we can consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. So there's a purpose behind being a part of a local church. The purpose has to do with connecting. So I'm going to use that word right now, connecting. And how do we connect? Well, first of all, when we connect, we're going to be connecting with God. We're going to be connecting with God, not because you have to do it at church. I know plenty of people go, well, I connect God with nature. Okay, but here's the thing. If you connect with God with a local church, it has to do with corporate worship. Of course, there are opportunities for you to spend time with God individually, and individually is good. I'm not saying anything against that. What I am saying, though, is you can't just have one without the other. We need each other, and we need to be together, whether you're able to connect online or whether you're able to connect in person. It is so much more valuable to actually have the interaction one with another. In fact, the researchers are telling us that's a real big reason why there's a push to try to get school back connected, because kids learn better when they're together. And so just as that works in the workplace and it works in education, it works in church. And so it's important that we connect one with another. It helps us to connect to God. It gives us that opportunity to share in prayer together, to actually pray together. There is something about praying together that really makes a difference. Matthew 18 and 19. If you would just turn with me, please. Matthew 18 and 19. The power of agreement in prayer is so vital. Matthew 18 and verse 19. He said, Jesus is speaking. He says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, you've heard me share this often because, you know, when this came upon me as a revelation, that it wasn't just, you know, I always pictured it when I first became a Christian. It's like, you know, me and a friend were talking about God. It's like, oh, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian. That means Jesus is here. Mm-hmm. And I would get real excited. And we'd all, you know, have a really nice, you know, moment of fellowship over the fact that Jesus is here because you're a Christian. Oh, you meet somebody new and you find out they're a Christian. And then somebody usually invokes this verse, where two or three are gathered. You know, well, there's two of us. Well, there's three of us. Well, he's here. And as I grew in my faith, the revelation came to me, wait a second, we bring God with us when Jesus lives on the inside of us. So what did this verse actually mean? It has to do with the corporate presence of Jesus. You see, yes, I invited Jesus to live in my heart when I was a young Christian. He transformed my life as a 15-year-old. Yes, absolutely. I brought Jesus with me. And yes, when I would come together in worship, sometimes there would be something different. When we'd come together at Jan and Lee Kaiser's house on East Wind Drive in North Palm Beach, Florida, and I'm talking about kids from all walks of life, some Catholic, some Baptist, some Methodist, some Episcopals, right? Some Lutherans. I'm telling you, it was a hodgepodge of people. Some from different high schools. And when we came together on Saturday night, we were together. We brought Jesus with us. But there was something about, we nicknamed it Saturday Night Live. Because miracles happened. And Jesus manifested himself. So when we look at this verse, not forsaking the assembly ourselves together, and then look at this verse, Matthew 18 and 19 and 20, where two or three are gathered in my name. There was a purpose. They're gathered in my name. That's what every Sunday morning is at Westchester Family Church. There's a purpose to gather in his name. It's not happenstance. It's not something that is just off the cuff. It is, we're gathering for a purpose. So when I say got church, I'm talking about there's a purpose for church. It's not just to be another social club or another charity in town. Just another thing to get to. Another thing to give your time to. It's not a country club. It's not just a do-good organization. There is a purpose to coming together. To come together to worship, to come together to pray. So there is something about connecting, being connected, that makes a difference. So when you study a little deeper with this verse, when it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The actual Greek structure of the language is, I will manifest myself in a different way. Now, we just experienced that just in worship this morning. Jesus, the presence of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, manifests himself in a different way. Words of knowledge came forth, and there was a sweet spirit of worship. Amen. Where you just wanted to stay there. You know, and in those moments when we as teenagers would gather at Janet Lee Kaiser's house Saturday night, when we would do that and we would pray, and sometimes the presence of God would fall, there would be things that would happen. Lives were changed. Callings were revealed. Why? Because we were ministering unto the Lord. Sometimes with silly songs that made no sense at all, just to kind of break the ice. And then Mr. Kaiser with his guitar would, you know, kind of strum a couple chords, and we'd start singing a chorus. Very similar to what we sing now. And we would start singing a chorus about Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Or we would sing, you know, in his presence there is fullness of joy. And the presence of God would come into that room. And you could almost feel it. There was one occasion where everybody got quiet. First of all, have you been in a room full of 30 teenagers? And do they really get quiet on their own? But when Jesus walked in the room and the presence of God was there, and then all of a sudden you young people, just on their own, no adult was directing, no minister, no priest, nobody was telling them, okay, now you do this and you do this. Just the presence of God. And as I talk about it, I'm like moved, because I'm brought right back to it. And that one Saturday night, I remember teenagers just spontaneously hit their knees.
Hallelujah.
Some, and I'm talking about not just the overdramatic teenage girl, or I'm talking about teenage guys too. There was all of a sudden you started listening. It was quiet, and then you would hear weeping before God. I don't know what was going on. To this day, I don't know what was going on, because I was one of them that was just in God's presence. But young people would do that. Now you say, is that the last time you saw that? No. I've seen that many times. I've seen that at youth camp. I've seen that at this church.
Yes.
I've seen that on Sunday mornings. I've seen that at special meetings, when the presence of God comes in the room. When he walks into the room, sickness can't stay. Anxiety can't stay. And he's here.
Yes.
He's here even right now. Right now. Because where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I'm here. That's what he's saying to you. I'm here to heal your broken heart. I'm here to bring clarity and wisdom to that decision you have to make. I'm here to connect with you. Because that's our God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, that's what the word means. God with us. He sent his Holy Spirit into this earth so that we would be carriers of that. So when we connect together, his manifest presence comes and he shows up. God shows up. I had the privilege of connecting with Reverend Cliff Graham last night. He was in town. He's ministering at Friends of Ours Church down, one of our sister churches down county. And he was in town, and so he and I had a chance to catch up. I hadn't seen him in a while. And just had dinner with him, just fellowshipping and sharing about what God is doing and what God is doing. Some of the miracles, some of the open doors that God would give individuals, not just Reverend Cliff, but he would give other people open doors, open doors. What have we been praying about? Lord, open the door. Open the door. Platforms in which you can share the gospel. Favor of God. Favor of God in order for things to happen. Open opportunities. And so we connect together because there is power to being together. The word tells us that where one can, you know, send 1,000 to flight, two can send 10,000 to flight. There is a power in agreement that can come through being a part of a local church. When you go through things in your life, it's not just about, oh, I've got a support community. That's what mental health professionals call it. But I believe that a church is so much more than just a support community. We are a family that God knits together. That when you hurt, I hurt. When you have a victory in your life, I have a victory.
Yes.
When you can rejoice over somebody getting blessed, I can rejoice. When I hear people get blessed financially, I get excited. I'm like, especially if they're a believer, I'm like, you go, God. You got them that. Praise God. Lord, you're so good. You got them a new house with a pool? Right? Instead of going, they got their new house with a pool. You know, we got to check our heart.
Right?
We got to check our heart. Be happy for those that are blessed around you, especially your brothers and sisters. Be happy for them. Get excited for them. See, we connect in prayer. We connect in worship. We connect in fellowship. And we connect in Bible-centered teaching. That is the way of the local church, that we connect in prayer. If you've not gotten here early on a Sunday morning, you'll find out that whether it's Miss Avril leading, whether it's the Jacksons, whether it's Reverend Christine, whether it's Reverend Ennis, whether it's Miss Navi, when you come, or Miss Iris, when you come and we're praying, the presence of God is in this room. Why? Because we're praying together. So I encourage you, avail yourself to maybe come a little bit early on Sunday and connect with us in prayer. Connect with us in worship. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes churches have like hour-long, two-hour-long worship services. And, you know, we've had long ones before in our time. You know, we've been around now for a while. You know, and when God is doing something, I have no problem being in worship for a long time. You know, but worship has a purpose. It's to get us into the presence of God as quickly and as efficiently, to get us in a space where we can hear from God. That's the purpose. When we get into that worship. And then there's fellowship. You know, one of the things about the ukulele band that has been beautiful is to see to see people enjoying one another, hanging out and enjoying one another. We haven't done food in well over a year. I'm getting requests, please bring back the coffee, Pastor.
Yes.
Please bring back the hospitality table. Please bring those things back. Because why? There's something about breaking bread and being with each other, that we get to know one another. We share our life one with another. How can I know that you're hurting if we never talk?
Amen.
Or, you know, you say, well, you're the pastor, you're busy. Listen, you don't know how busy I am or how busy I'm not. Let me know so I can be your pastor, so that I can pray for you. And I pray for everybody generally, but it's awesome to be able to know how to pray for you specifically. So again, it's that connection, it's that fellowship. You know, the word fellowship in the New Testament is called koinonia. Koinonia. It's a fancy word. Sometimes churches have used that. Oh, come to koinonia. And when I was a kid, I'm like, what? What's koinonia? You know, the world doesn't know what koinonia is. And sometimes the world doesn't even really know what fellowship is. But what they might know it is community. As relationship building. As if I know my sister or my brother is hurting, then I can pray. I can be there as an encouragement. If somebody is out of work for a long period of time, I can say, hey, how can we help? If somebody is in a financial need, hey, how can the church family help? You know, this church, our sister church up in Torrington, Connecticut, pastored by the Millers, you know, Pastor Christine, she sent a text. Listen, do you need food? Do you need something? You know, what is that about? That's connection. When you have a death in the family, when you have somebody sick in the hospital, I want to know. We want to know. Not because we want to be busybodies. We want to know so that we can pray. We can get answers together. There is a community. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. There's community. I'm talking to you about the importance of a local church. The importance of a local church.
Amen.
You know, in recent years, they say that church attendance in America has by and large declined dramatically. And since the pandemic, it's really declined. It's been like somebody just kind of like way down. And there are some churches that have been able to, through programming and through staff and through a lot of events, have been able to come back a lot stronger. I believe in God that we're coming back stronger than ever before. Amen. Can you agree with me?
Yeah.
All right. Stronger than ever before. Praise God. And in Acts chapter 4, I mentioned this verse last week. This was right after, right after the disciples basically were, they were told to not speak in the name of Jesus in verse 13. And then they were told to never speak in the name of Jesus. They were reprimanded. They were commanded to not teach at all in the name of Jesus, verse 18. This is the early church. They were basically getting in trouble for standing up for the things of God. And then it says in verse 20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." I love the boldness. You get boldness when you're around other people of like precious faith. And so when they had further threatened them and let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing had been performed. Remember, that this was the miracle that, that you know, Peter and John were arrested for this. They were arrested for seeing somebody get set free. For doing good. They were persecuted. Now, even on your worst day at your job, you've not been persecuted quite like that. Not here. And notice what it says. And it says, "And being let go," verse 23. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, you should. Being let go, they went to their own company or their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they raised their voice to God. This was corporate. This was together, right? This was not just individual. With one accord, and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? And the kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before them to be done.'" Verse 29, this was their prayer when they got among their own company. "Now, Lord, look upon their threats. Grant your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled, say assembled.
Assembled.
They weren't just individual. When they prayed and they were assembled together, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. With boldness, and that means freedom of speech, with divine utterance, with utterance, and that is unreserved. Unreserved. In other words, they spoke boldly. They spoke boldly with no fear. You know, I really believe that we can learn some things from having our own company. Now, I think it's important to be a part of a local church, to be engaged, so to speak. Now, I know that probably if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've been a part of unhealthy churches. You've been a part of healthy churches. Maybe you've been a part of really awesome churches, small churches, large churches, in between churches. And here's, I'm going to be really just, we're going to keep it real about church, okay?
Church is a place that you can grow, but it's also a place that you can get hurt. It's also a place where you can get disappointed. It's also a place where when you yourself need healing, can get healing. It's a place for all of us to grow in God because none of us have arrived. Somebody says, well, I don't go to that church anymore because they're a bunch of hypocrites. You ever heard that? And where on earth is there not a hypocrite? Certainly you're not going to find it in politics. I'm being very sarcastic. You're not going to find it in government, being sarcastic. You're not going to find it in your company, being sarcastic. It is the very nature to say one thing and do another without God. Somebody said once, well, I used to go to that church, but, you know, all the people, they were just, you know, they just had a lot of problems. Or, you know, what about, I was going to go to a church, you know, where everybody's perfect. Right? There's no such thing. We all come with stuff. We all come needing a touch from heaven. We all come with, God, I need you to deal with this. I need you to deal with this in my life. I need you to help me come through a problem. Help me develop character. There is no place like connecting in prayer, connecting in worship, connecting in fellowship, and connecting in Bible-centered teaching than the local church. Serving together will make much more impact to a community. They will see that we love God, and they will see we love one another. You know, I've said this for years. I really believe that being a part of a local church is a privilege. It's something to be cherished, to have a relationship that, you know, a couple weeks ago, I reached out to someone here in the church because I am not a carpenter. Say, Pastor, you're not a carpenter. I'm not a carpenter, even though I sometimes wanted to be and had aspirations to be. Because, you know, Jesus was a carpenter. But if Jim Licata has ever been and seen my carpentry work, he will just go, why'd you do that? Because Jim is a master carpenter. And so when I ask him to come over to fix something, or Brother Ron LaCorey to come over and fix something, they go, how did you make this mess? And it's because I'm a wood butcher. Admittedly so. But see, I might not have that strength, but someone else in the body has the strength to help. And so when we were even making and creating and this space, which was an office space when we originally got it, there was nothing here but brick walls and cement floor. It took people who had skills that I did not have to help make this a church. That's in the physical. Now, take that over into the spiritual. You have a gift that I might not have. I have a gift that you might not have. Together, when we come together unto our own company, I love this passage right here because I want us to go a little deeper in this. So often we just stop at verse 23, and being let go, they went unto their, and being let go, they went to their own companions or their own company and reported all the chief priests. And we talk about the importance of having your own company, having your own place to come back to. When the world beats you up, you want to come back into a place of safety. You want to come back into a place of love. You want to come back into a place of forgiveness. Yes. You want to come back into a place of restoration. Come on, church. Amen. That's what we're to be about. So that when even, you know, when somebody, you know, maybe even sometimes gets all mad and upset and hot and bothered. You know, I was a part of a church down in Florida for almost 10 years, and I don't talk often publicly about this, but if you've ever heard of, quote, a church split, we went through a church split, okay? Now, if you've been around long enough, you know that that can happen. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. It was a church of about 1,200 people at the time, and a big hunk of them went off about 2 miles down the road and started another church. It wasn't fun. Was not fun at all. Okay, so I get it. Church is a place to be vulnerable. It's a church to actually learn and grow from one another. The senior pastor whom I stayed with and was a part of, I remember watching his love walk. And this was what was amazing to me. During that church split, which again was not pretty, took me a long time of forgiveness and healing internally, personally, to go through that. A lot of disappointment in people, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. I get it. I was young, new in the ministry, all of those things. So any church horror story you have, I have a couple more. Okay? But I still love the church. Do you know why? Jesus loves the church.
That's right.
The church of the called out ones.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he bought and paid for it with his blood. And so I love the church. He loves the church. I'm not talking about a building, and I'm not talking about just this organization. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. He loves the called out ones. And so I watched Dr. Horace Ward, one of my mentors. He's in heaven now. I watched his love walk. Because months into the church split, sometimes people would leave, and sometimes they said really awful things about the leader of the church, Dr. Ward. And I remember one Sunday morning, Dr. Ward is standing at the back of the church, and one of those individuals who had said awful things came back. And they came back with their head down and came back and said, you know, the Lord really wanted me here. And rather than berate them or engage in anything other than love, Dr. Ward went over, wrapped his arms around the individual, and began to weep and said, I love you. Welcome home. And I thought, and I was watching this whole thing as a young minister, and I thought, but he said so many terrible things about you. He tore up your life's work. That was the impulsive Doug, the judgmental Doug, the one that still needed Jesus to work on him. And I watched a man of God love his way through to victory. And I thought, God, that's what I want to be like. So no matter what was done, this man knew how to forgive. Why? He knew the source of forgiveness, and he knew the love walk. And so I'm telling you all that, saying, Pastor, why are you telling me all that? Because I know hurt, and I know pain. And I want you to know that I know that. Why? Because sometimes you look at a pastor and you say, oh, they don't know hurt and pain. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But being a part of a local church is so much grander than just that one hurt or that one scar or that one disappointment. It's being a part of a family, of serving together that makes more impact. How many of you could say that on last Saturday when we showed the community that we love them and we were just there bringing joy, wasn't it fun to do it with somebody? Can you imagine if it was just Reverend Ennis strumming on the ukulele by himself with one little table? It just wouldn't have had the impact. But as a result, I went back last Sunday after church, went back to Septemberfest, walked around. We had forgotten some of our cones.
Oh.
Went hoping to find our traffic cones that we had over at our spot over at the Septemberfest.
Oh, wow.
And I walked around. And I was looking, and several of the Chamber of Commerce people saw me again, and they talked about you. And I thought, that's awesome. That's awesome. We weren't just hidden away in some little table. We made a statement about God's love. We made a statement about just giving away things and just being there with the puppets and with the ukulele band, and there was an excitement to see me again. And I thought, God, you're good. That's the favor of God. That's the favor of God on a church doing something together. Notice what it says here. It says, verse 28, do whatever your hand and your purpose determine before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant your servants, that's us, you and me, with all boldness that we would what? Speak your word. Now, as we ramped up to Septemberfest, we said, Lord, open the door, open our mouths, and open the hearts. I believe we're seeing that. I believe that as we close out this year, we still have several months left, we're going to be doing what? We're going to be doing the harvest party at the end of October. We are looking forward to doing something on the tree lighting night for Mount Kisco. I believe our ukulele band is going to actually be right on the steps of City Hall, Westchester Family Church, doing a Christmas song for the ukulele band. I'm telling you, God's going to give us favor. We have sown, and we have sown, and we have sown. Almost 20 years of sowing and sowing. Wow. And sowing and sowing. I believe it's going to be time for us to reap that favor of God. And doing something together makes more impact. There is synergy when we work together and we're a part of something. We are to reflect. Not only are we to connect with each other, connect with our community, our families, but I believe that we are to reflect. Not only reflect to others, but first of all, reflect His image to ourselves. We need mind renewal. We need to know who we are in Christ. That as a child of God, God has given you a different destiny, a different way to live, a different way to approach life, a different way to approach problems. When we reflect His image to ourselves, we start to see ourselves as God sees us, forgiven children of God who go out into the world and now reflect His goodness to those around us by sharing the gospel. And to actually not just do that to those around us, but we reflect back to Him in worship, corporately, together. Because again, we are called together to do a mighty work for Him. So when I say the question, got church? Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. Part of the reason of my sharing my own personal story of my journey in church was so that you understand that, yeah, I get it. Any relationship you've got, whether it even be with your own child, there is a risk involved that when you truly love, you have to be vulnerable. When you truly connect, you have to be vulnerable. You learn to forgive. For those of you that have been married for a long period of time, you know there's a lot of forgiveness, a lot of mercy, and a lot of working together. Right? That's the only way it works. And so I want to encourage you, be a part of your local church. If you don't have one, find one. Find one that is Bible-centered. Find one that will help you develop your life with Christ. Find one that will do that, and I believe that you will be blessed. And you will reap the benefits of what we've been talking about, the benefits of being a part of a local church, a community of faith, so that when you are hurting, you've got others to hold you up. You know, there have been times when we've gone through difficulty, both corporately and individually. And I'm so thankful. I look out at some of you that have been with us from the early days of this church, and I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. I remember the first year anniversary, Iris and Silvio came in with their kids and with signs and hand-painted posters, happy anniversary, and like t-shirts celebrating 1 year of God's goodness for this church. And they hadn't been with us but maybe a month, but they got in on the celebration, and they were like, we're going to celebrate the church's 1 year anniversary. And they were like so a part of it. You know, when you get excited about the things of God, it's easier for you to use those invite cards that we printed up for you. When you're like, I'm excited to be a part. of this church. You know, and I can't create that. I can't market that. That is something that I believe that when we all connect to God, connect to His Word, connect to each other, and connect in worship, we're going to see an explosion of God's goodness, both in our youth, our children, our adults, and we're going to see God do great and mighty things. Can you say amen? Not forsaking ourselves, assembling of ourselves as some. Amen? But we are going to be that people that come together. And we will draw from each other's strengths. We will hurt when those around us hurt. And we'll be there for those that are needing. And all of us have moments of need in our lives. It all happens to us. Life comes at us. And we need each other. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. And I'm not specifically just saying this church, although I am. I thank God for those relationships, those Christian relationships that I have because of church. It has been a marker and a change in my life. I would not be where I'm at if it wasn't for some of the people I met in local church. My seventh grade Sunday school teacher, who prayed for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. The FBI agent that opened up his home and eventually became a pastor. The gentleman that I connected yesterday on the phone after almost 40 years, a brother by the name of Harold Coy. You would never know who he was, but Brother Harold Coy used to run a boys' ministry for the church that I eventually came on staff with, and it was sort of like Christian Boy Scouts. And I had a chance yesterday to connect with Brother Coy on the phone. And just to hear that he's serving God, still serving the Lord, still him and his wife married over 50 years, and just passionate about the things of God, excited about what God wants to do. And I say, amen. Thank God for people like that. And so you meet them in the local church, and they will change your life. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, God, that it has the power to change us. That we're encouraged. I primarily spoke to the believer today about being a part of a local community of faith. Lord, I thank you that we have the opportunity to connect. We have the opportunity to connect online and in person, and a combination of both. And so, Father, I thank you that you intertwine our lives and you form that koinonia, that fellowship that's like fabric that is woven together into a beautiful tapestry. Lord, I thank you. You're able to do that. You're able to do that in this church. You're able to do that with our lives and relationships. You're able to do that in all of those relationships that we've met in the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you that you are building your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so, Father, I thank you that you love the church. And so, therefore, Father, we have a love for your people, the called out ones, in the name of Jesus. Help us, Father God, to seek you and connect in all of those various ways, to connect with each other, to connect with you in worship, to connect with your word, and to connect with our community, reflecting your goodness. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, God, once again for that in the name of Jesus. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, or if you're online watching today, and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is the first step to a relationship with God. That is your first step to literally being a part of the church. Not just a label on the outside, but it's to receive Christ's forgiveness into your life. It's real easy. You just believe, God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, that He rose from the dead. And the Bible says that as you receive His forgiveness and call Him your Lord, confess Him with your mouth, the Bible says you'll be saved. So we're going to do that right now. Let's just pray this simple prayer out loud together. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He rose from the dead. I receive His forgiveness today by faith, and I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you used that as an opportunity to recommit your life to Christ, we want to know about it. You can message us privately. We want to know about it. We want to be able to be there for you, send you some things. If you live far away, we'd like to help you find a local church that does what I'm talking about, a church that would be there for you, a church that would connect, love you right where you are at, and help you in your journey of faith. Amen and amen. Let's stand as we have our closing verse, our sending out verse, if you will. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. We'll see you Wednesday night and again next Sunday morning.